Hi there. My name is Emily Zaslowski, and I was a volleyball player at the University of North Carolina. And now I'm the host of More Than My Stats podcast. Before our season two comes out, I wanted to interview current and former athletes so they can teach us a little bit about their sport during the Tokyo Olympics to help others in our community learn about their new sport and hopefully increase viewerships on sports they may not have given a chance to otherwise, or just sports in general that they're watching, but just are kind of confused about. So I'm really excited for this one as swimming is going on right now. So this is definitely one of the early ones I wanted to feature because the medal events are happening every single day. I was actually on a swim team growing up. So some of these questions today were actually inspired by my husband, who's been watching some swimming this Olympics with me and has like no knowledge at all. So I was like, all right, if he has these questions, I'm sure other people will, but you are much more qualified to answer them today. And people probably have similar questions to some of mine and his. So joining us today, we have Maggie Warbaugh. Thank you so much for coming on and teaching us something today.
Yeah, thank you for having me and for saying my last name correctly.
I was just saying, I panicked at the very, I was like, is it were, is it war? No, so yeah, I love this sport. It is so hard. And I always get like emotional too, watching like swimming specifically, because like I know how many hours in the pool of like individual work it takes to like shave off. Like volleyball, like if I work really hard, I can improve and I'm like jumping higher and hitting harder. But like swimming, it's like you put in so many hours for like millisecond improvement. So it's just a sport that I think is so cool. Like when you see people at this level competing, it's just like so inspiring of like the years and years of work. So I'm really excited to kind of feature the sport that people kind of sometimes think is just like recreational because they have a pool in their backyard and like the amount of commitment it takes.
Yeah, I appreciate your excitement. Swimming, I mean, if you're a swimmer, you know Michael Phelps changed swimming and like kind of the publicity that swimming gets. But yeah, I've cried every single night watching finals because it's like I know like how hard they've worked. And just like you said, like kind of for volleyball and other team sports, like I play water polo now, you can like work on other things besides your strength and your endurance, like passing, communication, like plays, setup, how you view the field. In swimming, it's literally just like get your endurance higher and get stronger. Those are like basically the only things you can do to improve once you get to a certain level. So I appreciate your enthusiasm.
Yeah, no. So I guess to start, let's keep it like super basic. Basically, there's different distances and then different events within that. So can you do a quick breakdown of the different strokes we'll be watching, and kind of the basics of what the rules are for those strokes?
Yeah, so in swimming, there's butterfly, backstroke, breaststroke, freestyle, individual medleys, and then relays. And pretty much in the freestyle events, there's 50, 100, 200, 400, 800, 1500. And then in backstroke, breaststroke, and butterfly, there's the 100 and 200 of each of those strokes. And then in the individual medley, there's the 200 and the 400. And then there's all sorts of relays. That's confusing, but basically there's like many different distances and strokes in all the relays as well. And this is the first year that the 1500 is an Olympic event for the women. So it like at, you know, the club level and college level and, you know, like USA swimming level, it's always been an event that you can do. But at the Olympics, it hasn't been an event for women until this year, which is why Katie Ledecky winning it last night was so huge.
Yeah, no, that's so exciting because I think people, in all sports, like there's so many sports that are getting added just recently. And it's like, I didn't even realize that like softball wasn't always a sport, like lacrosse, like for the series, a few people are like, hey, I know it's not like there, but I would love to still talk about lacrosse. And I'm like, yeah, like it's just crazy that like certain sports still just like aren't there for events that people are competing in all the time, that like Olympics are sometimes a little slow to catch on.
Yeah.
So, what strokes did you do?
So I did everything. My worst stroke was backstroke, but I was basically what was called a middle distance generalist, you could say. There's like specialists and then kind of people that do everything. And so you see people like the people that are like Caleb Dressel. If you're watching the Olympics, you're going to see his name. He's a sprint freestyler, pretty much. He's doing like the 50 free, the 100 free, and all the freestyle relays. But then you and like Katie Ledecky is a distance freestyler. So she's doing the 200, 400, 800, 1500. Then you have someone like me who did the 200 fly, 200 free, 200 breast, 200 IM. So yeah, it's like they're specialists. I was anything but a specialist.
Okay. So there's some people that do all sports and they're extremely competitive. And I'm assuming that there's people that do like different distances. Like some people might specialize in butterfly and maybe they do many different distances. Do most people at the Olympics, would you say, if you had to generalize, is it mainly specialization with just one or two strokes, or are you seeing athletes competing in like all four strokes?
It's at that level. It's definitely specialization, because once you get to a certain point, like even if you're an IMer, an individual medley specialist, that you're still specializing in that. You'll still see people in that race have, because the individual medley has fly, back, breast, and free, you'll still see people have like a really weak stroke in their IM and a really strong stroke in their IM. So like I was terrible at backstroke. So I would be out first in the fly and then I'd be last by the end of backstroke, and then I'd have to catch up at the breaststroke, and then I'd have to just kill it in the freestyle. So definitely at the Olympic level, you see more specialization, just like even from like the amount of time you have to train and like event kind of event timeline and event order. Like no one really has the energy to race more than, you know, Phelps doing eight events was wild in 2008. And so he was probably the only one that wasn't like a specialist. Yeah, definitely specializing when you're at that level.
That's the exception, not the norm. And actually, I love that you brought up that thing about the individual medley, which is when you do all four strokes in like one race, like you switch depending on the distance, you're switching at different walls, because that's what my husband said exactly that. He was like, wow, that person had such a big lead. And then this person just came out of nowhere. And it's like, and I told him kind of exactly that, like, I bet you freestyle is their, you know, their stroke. So like when they just came and passed four people, that was because like they were kind of counting on that. So I think that's a really good point to bring up as well. And so can you describe if, and I'm not sure if it's different for all countries or if it's just in the US, can you describe the process of how swimmers qualify for the Olympics and how many swimmer, if like there's a limit on swimmers? Cause I know in gymnastics, like there was a fixed number, but then other sports I've heard, it's like kind of just, if you're the best, you're the best. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. So I definitely can't speak to other countries, but in the United States of America, there technically is a quota number. Like they only get a certain amount of swimmers, and we haven't run into this issue for so many years because we had people like Michael Phelps, like Ryan Lochte, who did so many events that they only took up one like quota spot, but we're like filling so many events. And this year we unfortunately didn't get to take a sixth place person for a relay because we couldn't bring more athletes. So basically you have to hit a time standard to qualify for Olympic trials. And in general, per event, about 100 people in the country make it under that time standard. And then you have to get first or second place at Olympic trials to make the team in an individual event. And then in the relays, you have to get top four. But then they also can potentially bring a fifth or sixth swimmer in the 100 frees and 200 frees for the relays. But yeah, this year they didn't get to bring the sixth place people because they hit, I think it's like 26 males and 26 females or something like that.
Okay. So for the relays one specifically, where that they have it, are they racing at trials in a relay, or is it like they're just doing their stroke and then it's like the best time, if that makes sense?
Yeah, they're just doing the stroke. So to make the 4x100 free relay, you race the 100 free at Olympic trials. If you get first or second, you get to swim the individual at the Olympics and you're guaranteed to be on the relay. If you get third or fourth in the 100 free at Olympic trials, you're going to go to the Olympics for the relay, but you don't get to compete in the individual. And then, yeah, five or six had to like play the waiting game all week to see if they got to go to the Olympics.
Okay. So essentially though, besides the relay withdrawal, I'll put, like you said before, like, I'm not really going to talk about the relays because it's so many different events, so many different distances. So actually listeners, Maggie went to the Olympic trials, not for these Olympics, but the last ones. And, so do you have just like any, like, so it's 100 people for essentially two spots. That's what I'm hearing. Like, what was that experience like? Like, is it one of those, like, you make the time cut off, so you're like, yes, I'm in, and like you enjoy the experience. Like, cause I feel like two spots, it's even like hard? And like, do they, is it one shot and done, or like working up to semifinals, finals? Like, what's the process like?
Yeah. So once you actually get to trials, there's prelims is what's like the first session. And then depending on the length of the event, there's also semifinals. So that's like prelims in the morning, semifinals at night, and then finals again the next night. So in my event in the 200 IM, that's what I made for trials. There was prelims, semifinals, and then finals again. I got dead last at trials because I mean, first of all, I had a very rough freshman year of college. I was just happy to be there, happy to be still competing. And it was just like my dream to make trials. And yeah, so I pretty much was just like soaking it in. Like Allison Schmidt was just standing behind me. Michael Phelps was there because it was 2016. Ryan Lochte was there because it was the 200 IM. And I was the first heat or the second heat, which was also like nerve wracking being the first heat of an event. So I feel like it definitely depends on like your level and your expectations. And I'd say swimming is a sport. Sorry, I just got a FaceTime call from my
family. You're good.
Swimming is a sport that like in general, you know, you're not going to drop like 10 seconds. And so like, I knew I wasn't going to make the team. I'm not practicing to drop 10 seconds and make the team. But sometimes, especially like these teenagers, when you're 16, 17, you can drop a few seconds if you've hit your growth spurt or whatever. So yeah, it really depends on kind of your expectations and how your training's been going. Definitely. I mean, if you are vying for top 16 to make semifinals, I'm sure it's a lot more nerve wracking than if you're just there to enjoy the experience.
Yeah, no, I love it. And it's so funny because I just talked to someone who, I think it was the golf interview I just did. And she's like, yeah. And it was cool because I got, 15th, at nationals. It was out of 25 though. And I was like, it's 15 out of like the whole country. Like,
yeah,
there's like so many people that like didn't. So that's like, it's such a similar experience. And before we started this, I did something similar, like on the volleyball track where after my senior season, I got invited to go out to Colorado Springs, but I got to like meet Coach Karai, who in like volleyball is like, and so he was like watching me. And I was like, that's just, honestly, it's like the same thing of like, that's really cool. Like, even though it's not necessarily the, my goals were different. Like getting there was like the highlight of my career. And I kind of knew that that's, as a 5'10" volleyball player, that's kind of where my journey was going to end. But yeah, no. So I think that's so cool and such a cool experience. And I'm glad, we have someone extreme. Cause like when I said, like, people are like, oh, well, I didn't go doing the series. They're like, I didn't go to the Olympics. I'm like, oh, I do not care. Like you could be like a junior high athlete and you have more experience than I do in some of these sports. But with you, I'm like, it's just so cool that, you know, someone who's like put in all those years to even like get to the trial and hit that time. Okay. So switching to just the Olympic question. So I think everything we've covered so far is kind of like either like before how you get there or just general things about swimming. There's certain things on TV or the specific pool that I think are important to point out. So when you watch on TV, it's like one of the first things you notice is that two lanes in the middle are yellow. Can you explain more about those yellow lanes?
Okay. So literally I don't know why. And, I was going to Google this, but I think it's a visual. Like I literally think it's like for TV and for viewership to like distinguish where people are in the pool, because I don't think I've ever swam in a pool that like the middle two lanes are different colored. So yeah, I don't really know, but I can Google it.
No, that's fine. I think that makes sense because I think also typically in my pool, there's not empty lanes, and there are empty lanes here that, you know, so it does kind of throw off the spacing. So their lane one in competitors aren't necessarily the lane one in the actual pool. And right. I wasn't sure if this was a thing, but I always saw that like the fastest swimmers who are like favored are typically in those lanes. But I was like, I'm not sure if that's like, are those the, like, do you want to be in a middle lane, not an end lane?
So that's because the way that swimming works is, so like seed time is what it's called. So in prelims, your seed time is like your best time coming into the meet. In finals, your seed time is what you swam in prelims or semifinals. So the fastest person's lane four, second is in lane five, third is in lane three, and then 6, 2, 7, 1, 8. So you do want to be in the middle because generally, like literal physics, it's less like waves pushing you and more just like force forward.
Okay, that makes sense. So no technical rules or anything, probably just for ease of viewership to count lanes or for whatnot. I like them because I use them to count. Okay. Yeah. And so then speaking of different colors, like the last, I have no clue the distance, I'm just guessing 10 yards or so of the pool are also a different color. Can you go into, is there a reason that the last 10 yards are a different color?
Yeah. That is also like visual because there's rules in swimming about like there's that and there's the 15 meter mark and you're not allowed to be kicking underwater past the 15 meter mark. So it kind of like shows you, especially in freestyle, where you are in the pool, because in general, you're not like looking up high enough to see the flags on anything except backstroke. So when you like grow up swimming in a pool and training, that change in color is your visual aid that you're getting close to the wall. And so then you have to adjust your stroke to make sure you time the wall correctly. Like I literally have hit my hand so many times in pools if they like don't have the color change, if they just have like every other color just the whole time, or if they don't have the flags, like it's really dangerous to not have that distinction kind of like telling your brain you're getting to the wall, like pay attention.
Okay, interesting. And you just touched on flags. So what's the reason for the flags?
So the flags, specifically in the Olympics, I believe they take the flags out when there's not an event that's going to have backstroke, but they are for backstroke. So when you're swimming on your back, the flags show you that, I don't know what the measurement is. I'd assume it's 3.5 meters, maybe. That is where the color changes too. That's where the flags go. It tells you how far away from the wall you are. When you're like an 8-year-old swimmer, you learn your stroke count from the flags to the wall. And that's what you use your whole life to make sure you don't hit your head on the wall because you're swimming backwards.
Yes. No. So that's because like, I always was afraid of that with backstroke. I was the, like the athlete, even though I had my stroke, because I had to feel, because for listeners who don't know backstroke, you obviously are on your back with like your stomach facing the ceiling or sky. And you get to like turn over to do a stroke when you're doing your turn. So like at one point you can like turn over, but like, if you don't time that right, you're like, I was on swim team, I was very bad. So half the time I'd like go over way too early and I'm like just kicking or like too close and you're in like a whole thing. So, And I do think you're right because I was watching, because I was specifically looking for flags and I was like, oh, there's no flags. That seems weird. Like, I guess, maybe they're Olympians. They just know their entire stroke count from the whole pool, but that would make sense. It was not backstroke.
Okay. And I think it's cause, like for example, the Caleb Dressels of the world, their dives are like so far and high that they actually would hit the flags. Whereas like, I'm not going to hit the flags.
That makes sense. I guess in the Olympics, you don't want to take any chances with that. Okay. And so then my final question, and this one is just because, it was after I heard that, Olympian who like trained in a shorter pool. So what is the length of the pool? Alaska.
Lydia Jacoby.
Yes. Lydia Jacoby. What is the length of the pool and how do they compare to like our local neighborhood swimming pools?
Yeah. So an Olympic size pool is a 50 meter pool. Most kids grow up training in a 25 yard pool. It's becoming more common for, you know, club teams and neighborhoods and certainly college pools. They can like transform into 50 meter pools. So usually summer training, people train in 50 meters because for the Olympics and even like summer nationals, like kind of every summer is usually in long course meters is what it's called. But most pools are short course yards. So I grew up swimming in a short course yard pool and we didn't have a 50 meter pool in our hometown. So like we had to go to nationals with no long course meter training. And like we were talking about hitting your head on the wall and knowing your stroke count. Obviously your stroke count in 50 meters is going to be different than in 25 yards. So that's why it was really impressive what Lydia did, because in short course yards, you have more turns, which means kind of less kicks, less strokes, and more just like power off the wall. So it was really impressive that she didn't fade at the end, that she got quicker at the end because she hasn't been training meters.
Yeah. Like benefit for like, I'm sure she's got those turns like
Right.
Like down, but then exactly that, like the actual, like basically, and that length for the Olympians with the, how much time they're underwater and stuff. Like they're basically then she's doing another turn by the time she hits like max speed, but this is really like extending it. So yeah, I was like, that is crazy and super impressive. Mm-hmm. Okay. So like I said, we didn't even scratch, like, I feel like the surface, but I think this was a perfect basic overview on what people are watching or, you know, just watching the sport in general, even after the Olympics. So, I know we're underway now. Are there any Olympic events that are still to come or any athletes that have already either already swam or still swimming that you are loving watching, looking forward to watching? And can you share why, the event or the people your favorite, just because it's like so much easier for me to watch when I have someone like I'm rooting for. So, yeah. I'm sure, you know, people's like backstories much better than us.
Yeah. So that's true. The women's 200 fly final is tonight. And I'm really, really excited for that because Haley Flickinger and Reagan Smith are competing in that. And the club team that I swim masters for now is Reagan's club team. So we're both in the Lakeville, Minnesota area. So that's really exciting. And Haley actually swam for a YMCA team growing up. So we competed at the same national meets every year. And like, I feel like you can just tell when someone is genuinely nice on the pool deck, and she was genuinely nice and also just like so fast. And YMCA swimming definitely like doesn't get enough credit. It's seen as like less intense as USA swimming, like club swimming. But there's definitely like YMCA teams that are like train really hard and they just teach you other values as well. And so it's really cool to see another YMCA swimmer out there. Besides that, obviously Katie Ledecky was exciting and is exciting to watch. And her and Katie Grimes are competing in the 800 meter freestyle. That's tonight as well, I think. And Katie Grimes is like 15 years old. And it was just like a shocker at trials that she made the team. And she is just like fierce, you know, like to see a 15-year-old do that is just wild, especially to like have the endurance as a 15-year-old to do an 800 so fast. So that's always exciting, kind of like to see a young kid like reach their dreams. Yeah, I'd say those are the people I'm most excited for at this point.
No, perfect. It's just so fun. And the way they edit it too, like if you're watching just on prime time, I highly recommend it. They do really good with editing, keeping things like current and learning things. Like swimming is one of the sports where I think the announcers do a great job of explaining things. You get to learn a little more about athletes' backstories. So if you're looking for a new sport and swimming's not on your radar, luckily, like you said, with like how Michael Phelps went absolutely crazy, I feel like so much attention was brought. So like people were like, even who didn't know anything, were starting to watch then. And it's kind of like continued similar with like the US women's gymnastics team, like had that same kind of impact of as like year after year, they're like snowballing fans. But yeah, thank you so much. I'm going to get this turned out ASAP so we can hopefully get this before these events are happening. And I just, I've asked every single guest who's come on, if you could tag at More Than My Stats on any like swimming things you think we should be sharing with our community, because like sometimes the things I think are important to share just like aren't really like the most important things are like really relevant or whatnot. So if you could just give us a tag, I'll make sure I share that out to help keep people informed as well as Olympics.
Yeah, that sounds great. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you, Maggie. We will talk to you later. You have a nice rest of your night. Bye-bye.
Bye.